When she was here this morning to... Yeah, because she was here for, I guess, getting ready for the shower.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you here this morning. We've got quite a few folks that are still out, obviously because of the virus issue. Some people recovering, some people maybe traveling, so keep them all in your prayers. Brother Doug is home. He was able to leave the hospital yesterday, I think, so I appreciate you praying for him. I think Phyllis, her last test was negative. She's out, I think, with her kids on vacation or something today. So, what announcements do we have otherwise? Any other prayer updates we need to hear? How's Miss Noby doing? Miss Noby's doing good. Okay, great. So is that physical therapy? That's probably not physical therapy, though.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Any updates? Donna? Donna's brother has total knee replacement this coming Wednesday.
And then after
that one, he's going to have the other one. Okay. Yeah. He don't want to have both of them at the same time, though, right? I can't say as I blame him for that. Probably not. Okay, anybody else? Waylon, how's it going, man? Waylon's not studying me. How you doing, man? He's like, why are you talking to me? So we have a baby shower after church today, right? A drive-in, drive-through, drive-up, or whatever you want to call it, baby shower. So thank you for participating in that. School stuff, I think everybody knows the Autauga County schools are after Labor Day now. So, okay. Anybody else? Kathy has an unspoken. Okay. All right. Well, let's get started. So if you have, if you're watching this electronically and you got some kids there, get them closer to the monitor where they can see what's going on. We got a little video we're going to let them see in just a moment. We're still talking about the wonders of God's creation, the wonders of God's creation. And one thing I want to talk about today is some of the critters. Now, how many of you guys remember the Beverly Hillbillies? How many? Yeah. If I say something about Ellie Mae Clampett, what would you think about? Critters, right? She had all kinds of critters. She had a chimpanzee. I don't remember what all else she had. All kinds of critters. Well, I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she's got two dogs, two labs, 60-something pounds apiece, 120 pounds of dog combined. But she said, yeah, I want a pot-bellied pig. And I said, what's Robert say about that? He said, let's name him Bacon, that he was not going to have a pot-bellied pig. So anyway, we were talking about animals, and Diane said, I'd have all I could get in the house if Robert would let me. And I said, yeah, you sound like Ellie Mae Clampett. So we understand when we talk about critters, there's all different kinds of critters, right? But let me ask you, have you ever had a critter that could talk to you? Have you ever had a critter that could talk to you? Well, they can communicate with us, but they don't talk to us very much. Now, those of you that are closer to my age may remember a horse named Mr. Ed. And Mr. Ed could talk, right? At least on the TV he could talk, right? Well, he couldn't really talk. So we got some scripture we're going to look at today as soon as the... There we go. So this comes from Numbers chapter 22, starting in verse 22, and we're going to see that the Bible talks about an animal that actually could speak. Okay? Then God's anger was aroused against a man named Balaam because he went. Now, God had told him what he needed to do, and Balaam was doing something different. And the angel of the Lord, now anytime you see a capital A, that means the Spirit. The angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he, that is Balaam, was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw, get this picture. Balaam is riding on his donkey, okay? And because he's headed where God told him not to go, God is standing in the way. But notice, Balaam does not see the angel of the Lord, but his donkey does. So the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. Now here's the picture. She's already turned aside because she saw God, the angel of the Lord, with a drawn sword. And Balaam's wailing on her with his stick. And so now he's got her headed in his vineyard, and she sees the angel of the Lord again, and she turns and she mashes his foot up against the wall. So now he's mad, and he strikes her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, the donkey spoke, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Now, I don't know about you, but if all of a sudden a donkey spoke to me, I don't think I'd have presence of mind to answer her. I'm probably trying to get off the donkey and get away from the donkey. But Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." He's mad. So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me." So the Lord says, if the donkey had not turned aside, I would have killed you. So animals may not can talk to us routinely, but God is all powerful. And in this case, he used this creature to bring his message. Now, God can use all kinds of avenues to open our eyes and open our ears. His message is best revealed in his word, obviously. But he can also use other means to do that. I shared before with you guys that Greg and Jan had given me a little book that was about a man and a border collie. And the little book was about how God used that border collie to open his eyes to some spiritual truths. Well, God can do that. God can use any avenue. But my point is, what we need to be focused on is listening to God, watching for God, and expecting God to be working in our lives. Don't make God have to open the mouth of a donkey to get your attention. Let God speak to you, read his word, let him work in your life what he wants to do. Had the donkey not responded to seeing God, Balaam would have been struck dead because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. Okay, so let me show you a little video here. You know, I don't have a donkey speaking But this is a dog speaking, you might say. Kathy got some chickens the other day, and Gracie and Cookie have been introduced to the chickens, and they like them. They like them a lot. They would like a bite of them probably, but Gracie is an Australian Shepherd, and when she sees the chickens, you know what she wants to do? She wants to herd them. So this is a video of a border collie working with chickens. Named Champ. Good dog. That fast, they got him in. Good job, Champ. Michael?
Good morning, good morning. Let's stand up and sing all together. And I want to hear you. We got a good crowd here today, so let's just stand up.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Good morning again. Take your opportunity to turn around, blow a kiss, and wave at the people. Let them know how glad you are to see them this morning. Let's join together as we pray. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for being here in the person of your Holy Spirit. You told us in your word that where two or three are gathered together, that you are there in the midst. So we welcome you here, Lord God, in the person of your Holy Spirit to receive the praise and the worship that you alone are due. Father, we pray for our nation, for leaders at all levels of government. We pray, Father, for us as citizens that we will be going to the polls and casting our vote in accordance with the direction of your Spirit, not in accordance with some political agenda or some popularity poll, but that we would listen to and be led by your Spirit, that we would exercise our duties as citizens of this nation to vote. Lord, help us to be your salt and your light, to infuse our culture with your love, with your light. And Father, we know that the world is not going to like us. The world is not going to love us because it didn't love you. And that's okay. Because when it comes down to it, Lord God, we would a lot rather be approved by you and rejected by the world than the opposite. So Father, we pray that we would be pleasing to you in what we say and in what we do, that we would not give up, that we would not become despondent. We know, Father, that each one of us may have bad days, but help us to cast our cares upon you, because we know that you care for us. We pray for those of our family of faith that are recovering, that have been sick. Lord, thank you for your care over each one. We pray for doctors and nurses, medical professionals, as they minister to those who are ill, that you would grant them skill and wisdom and discernment. We pray for first responders, for our military, all of those that it is our duty to pray for, we lift up to you. Thank you again for what you have done and for what you're going to do even today. We give you praise. We commit the service to you. May you be honored and glorified by all that's done and said. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You may be seated. Y'all proving yourselves. Just keep singing for us these next couple of songs.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Now sing it out again, let me hear you.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Get a little warm up for this next one. Good energy. Let's sing it all together soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
And I heard you sing it, but now let's stand up in honor. Larry, anything you want to say about?
Yes, as I said before, we've gone to two slides now. One slide to honor our servicemen and women, which is up there now, and the next slide, our first responders. So if we have any that we have forgotten that we need to make sure is on there, then please let me or Donald know, and we will add them to the list.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Please be seated.
We are continuing. Actually, we will conclude today with our series on life and love from 1 John, because we're at the last chapter of the little epistle. Join me as we pray. Father, thank you again for your love and your blessings. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for life that you have given to us. Thank you for love that you show to us, that you have had for us. Father, we know in your word that no one can love us as you do. That when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that you loved us. You loved us so much that you gave your best. You gave us your one and only Son, that believing in him, we might have life rather than condemnation, that we might have life forevermore, full and abundant life, rather than a life of eternal separation and heartache and Lord, death away from you. Thank you that you do not ever give up on us, that until we breathe our last breath, we have an opportunity to respond to you. Help us to not put off that response, to not put off life, to not put off joy, to not put off peace, but Father, to respond to you with the same love that you have for us. Open our hearts and our minds today as we open your word. Guide us by your Spirit. Father, I pray that I would be your instrument here this morning. Forgive me of my sins. Help us to hear what you have for us. And then hearing, help us to step out in obedience. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been talking for 5 weeks now about life and love. This is a little epistle in length, but it is deep in meaning. And as you consider the culture that we find ourselves in, as you think about 2020, now 2020 is a little over half done, and I suspect that we could all say that 2020 has not been anything like we expected it to be. It has been by far the strangest year I've ever seen. Things have transpired in our culture and in our world that I never would have thought I would have seen. So we're told in God's Word that we live in perilous times. We are told in His Word that we are to expect things to get weird, that we are to expect things to get calamitous, that it is earthquakes in diverse places, pestilences. All these kind of things are signs to confirm what we already know from His Word, that we are in the latter days. Now, does that mean He may come back tomorrow? He could. He certainly could. Could it be 100 years? I don't know. Could it be 1,000 years? I don't know. But I do know, based on His Word, we need to be ready like He's coming back tomorrow. Because He can come for any of us at any day, whether or not He returns for everybody then or not. So I hope that we go to the Scriptures when we need answers. Now, you can go to Google. You can go to Google, and Google's going to give you an answer. Now, the problem with Google is it may be truth, and it may not be truth. Now, I don't know if schools allow children to use Wikipedia anymore as a source or not. I know used to they would not, because there were so many errors on Wikipedia. The point is, there's a lot of places you can go to get information. There's a lot of places you can go to get advice. There's a lot of places you can go that somebody will tell you what you ought to do. If you need to know, somebody will tell you. But I promise you, the person you need to listen to is going to speak right here. He's going to tell you the truth. Now, sometimes the truth hurts. Amen? Sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, and sometimes we'd rather not hear it. And see, that's where Satan gets a foothold sometimes, because Satan will tell you what you want to hear. Satan will tell you anything because he has no intention of telling you the truth. He'll feed you a lie. He'll feed you a line in a heartbeat because he has no intention of fulfilling whatever he said. God will tell you the truth. It may hurt. It may be uncomfortable, but it will lead to life, and it will lead to abundant life. Now, when I say abundant life, I don't mean in physical and earthly possessions, though God can bless you with that. Yes, he can. But that's not what he wants to do, because those blessings are temporary. You hear me? They are temporary. They do not last. The blessings that God wants to give you will last and last and last and last. So let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4 is the key verse up here, but I'm going to actually start at the beginning. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now look at this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Now, we face a lot of situations every day. Some bigger than others. We don't necessarily face a Goliath every day, at least we don't expect to. But sometimes Goliath shows up unannounced. Sometimes we dread it. We know he's coming. Sometimes we don't have any warning. But in any event, every day we face the potential of a Goliath. Well, I want to ask you, how did David face Goliath? How did a teenage boy with no armor, carrying only a sling and some smooth stones, face a 9-foot-tall giant of a man with armor and weapons of war? David faced Goliath the same way we need to face our Goliaths, and that is with faith in God. Because what did David tell Goliath? He said, the same God that delivered me from the mouth of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. And God did. He did. You know the story. The smooth, round stone found the only chink in Goliath's armor, right between the eyes, and knocked the 9-foot-tall giant out. David grabs the huge sword of Goliath and chops his head off. Now, maybe we don't face a physical Goliath, but I promise you, you're going to face Goliath in your life. It's not a matter of, you know, it's like if you live on the coast, it's not a matter of is there going to be a hurricane, because there is going to be a hurricane. Sooner or later, there's going to be a hurricane. The question is, how often and how big? So I promise you, you're going to face Goliath. The only question is, how big and how often? But I promise you that the answer is the same in every case. Faith in Jesus Christ. So three things we're going to look at today as we consider this fifth chapter of 1 John as we think about life and love. And that is to understand that we are all searching. We are all searching. Now, some people may tell you that they are not, but I don't believe them. Anybody who is anywhere near their right mind is searching for some things in life. They're searching for fulfillment. They're searching for direction in life because we want to make the right choice, don't we? We want to do the right thing. Now, you might say, well, everybody don't care about the right thing. Well, I understand and I agree with you. There are people who don't care about whether they do right in the sense of right or wrong or not. But my point here when I say right is that they make a correct choice. You remember the show Let's Make a Deal? Wasn't that the one where they had behind door number one or door, and he'd try to make you change? You know, you have something and swap it for something behind the door, and you know you knew that sometimes what's behind the door was a trip or a brand new car, but sometimes I saw one time they pulled up a junk car. You know, so you gotta think: do I need to stick with this or do I need to trade over here? You want to make the right decision. Well, in life, we are faced with decisions every single day, aren't we? We're faced with decisions every single day. And you might say, well, all of them are not huge, big decisions. And I grant you that they're not, thankfully, all huge, major decisions. But sometimes it's the accumulation of the small decisions that influence the big decisions. You hear me? Because David, when he faced Goliath with the faith that he had made use of in small instances while he was taking care of his dad's sheep. You know, how could David say, the God who delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear? Because God had done that. You see, David faced Goliath with the same faith he had been exercising in smaller amounts on a daily basis. So we are searching for some things, for directions, for answers to the meaning of life. Why am I here? For the power to overcome. You know, sometimes you think, man, there's no way I cannot get through this. There's just no way. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough power. And the truth is, the good news is, you don't have to face life. You don't have to face the struggles in your own power. Amen. You can face it. Indeed, God wants you to face it in His power. In His power. I hate that Bill's not here. He'd appreciate this. I saw a video the other day of, you guys know what PT boats were in World War II, right? Fast wooden hull boats, actually, that were for patrol. In fact, PT stands for patrol torpedo boat. And their main defense was they had torpedoes and they were fast. That was their main defense. Well, over in England, they had a similar kind of boat, but they called them MTBs, motor torpedo boat. And they were a lot shorter than a PT boat. Well, somebody had restored a British World War II motor torpedo boat, MTB 102. It looked like it was in pristine condition. And so I don't know who came up with this, but two of the current Royal Navy patrol boats showed up, and they were going to have a race. So this World War II 79-year-old motor torpedo boat against two brand-new patrol boats of the Royal Navy. The motor torpedo boat left them in, I would say the dust, but it was water. The motor torpedo boat left them in its wake and finally slowed down because it had what it took. Well, you know, what am I saying? I'm saying we may not have what it takes individually and personally, but God has what it takes, and He can give us the power we need. David, teenage boy, was no match for Goliath, but he was able to be victorious because his faith was in God. Israel over and over again faced a lot larger and more powerful enemies, but was able to subdue them because of their faith and trust in God. Friends, the only way we as individuals, the only way the church of God is going to be able to overcome the wiles of Satan, the forces of the world, is by our faith and trust in God. Now notice what I'm saying. A faith and trust in God is not just an intellectual or mental assent that He's God. David could have stayed in the tent and said all day long that God's able to deliver me. But he didn't sit in the tent. He got out and picked up the stones and met Goliath. You do not exercise your faith sitting on your behind. You hear me? You do not exercise your faith in God by sitting on your behind. You do not exercise your faith in God by letting somebody else do what God is calling you to do. How many times do we rob ourselves of joy and blessings because we're scared, or we don't believe we can do it, or we don't trust God? Now, you might say, I trust God. Well, we may say that, but if we say, I trust God, but don't step out, do we really trust God? My answer is, no, we don't. No, we don't. You know, if you got a rope and you really trust the rope, then you hang on the rope. If you don't trust it, you don't do it. We're searching. We're searching for joy and peace. We're searching for real and true life. Well, Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief, Satan, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But you've got to receive the gift. Now let me ask you, at Christmas time, you know the routine. There's a bunch of gifts under the tree, right? And whether you open your gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whatever you do, what do you do with those gifts? Do you talk about them and take pictures of them and leave them under the tree? What do? You rip them open. Unless you were my grandmother. Grandmom didn't rip open a gift. She would gradually tear them apart. You would get so frustrated. And she'd fold the paper up. I'd be like, open the present, Grandma. Jesus gives us life and life more abundantly. But how many times do we fail to open the gift? Because we're scared? Because we got other agenda? I don't know what. But if we're searching for something, I'm telling you, the answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? The answer is Jesus. No matter what the question is, the answer is Jesus. And Jesus alone. And the day we forget that is the day we cause ourselves heartache and consternation and difficulty and darkness. The world is groping around in the dark because they don't know Jesus. We know Jesus. We need to be shining the light and letting the world follow. Letting the world follow. Secondly, discover the answers. Well, we're searching. Let me ask you, why do you think this was written? Why did people sit down and under the leadership, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, and write this? What, you ever thought about that? Why did they write it? God could have done any number of things. Why did He do it like that? He could have had, exactly, He did it for us. God don't need to read it because God dictated it. Jesus could quote Scripture because guess who wrote it? Well, why is this here? It is for us to use. It is for us to use. I've been on several searches, and people will show up on the search, well-intentioned, want to help, but they're not prepared. We had a search back last year for a little three-year-old missing in Wetumpka, or outside of Wetumpka. And some folks showed up and wanted to help. And so the incident commander said, okay. But what he wound up doing was he took this pool of volunteers that showed up and he attached them to groups of people who were equipped and knew what they were doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing and you get out somewhere hunting for somebody lost, what's going to happen to you if you don't know where you're going? We're going to be hunting for you then. Well, in life, unless we know how we need to be going, we're going to get lost. We're going to get lost. I was hiking on part of the Pinhoti Trail a few years ago. They had extended the southern portion of the trail down into Coosa County. And I had gone up to Coosa County, and I parked at the trailhead, walked up, and I found the spot. And I'm like, this is great. And I'm thinking, I'm probably one of the first ones to hike this part of the trail. Okay, now, that's one problem. I'm the first one to hike this trail? Okay, that could be a problem. Secondly, guess how many maps were at the trailhead? Zero. So, now I've been hiking for a few years, and I knew that's probably not a good idea. So I take my compass out, and I took my GPS out, and turned it on, and checked everything. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hike the trail for a little piece. So I start hiking the trail, and you know what a blaze is? A blaze they put on the trees, painted color. And the blazes were okay, but I got to noticing the blazes were a pretty good piece apart. And I turned around a few times to make sure I could see behind me the blazes. And after I'd been going about an hour, I looked back. I couldn't see any blazes. Couldn't see any blazes. It was so thick. I said, I got a couple of choices. I can keep going on, and they can come out searching for me. Or I can backtrack. So I turned around and followed my GPS back to the car because I didn't want somebody out there searching for me. Because I didn't know where I was. I had no map, and there was no indication of where I should be going. Now, in life, maybe you don't have a map, and we don't have a map other than this right here. You got to make decisions. I got to make decisions. We got to know where to go next, and God may not give us a road map for 5 years down the road, but He does give us a road map for the next step we need to make. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That's all I need. Where am I going to step next? Amen. Because you go outside at night, in the summertime, and it's dark, what are you worried about? Stepping on what? What? A snake. So your flashlight is where? On the ground, right in front of you. Yeah. We need to be watching where we're stepping, and this is the light we should be using. Now, one of my favorite scriptures in 1 John is verse 12. He who has the Son has life. That's the answer. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Period. Two options. Either you have the Son and you have life, or you don't have the Son and you don't have life. There is no in between. There is no part way. Either you do or you don't. And it is simple and discoverable. It is not rocket science, as they say. It's not differential equations. Either you do have Jesus or you don't. If you do, then you have life and you're following in the light that He gives, or else you don't. And you're walking around in the darkness. And my friends, that's where most everybody's walking around today. This culture, if you want to know why it looks like our country's going to hell, it's because it is. Because folks leading it are in the dark. And what happens when the blind leads the blind? They walk off into a pit. And that's where this nation is headed. But I'm going to tell you what my mom told me when I was a kid. If everybody else walks off a cliff, are you going to follow them? Don't follow Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if you do follow Him, you're going to be with the few. You're going to feel like you're the only one. You're going to feel like Elijah. You know, when I was talking about Elijah a week or two ago, you're going to feel that way. And that's okay. As long as you're following Christ. Follow Him and leave the world where it will go. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not one of, not part of, not sometimes, but I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man who comes to the Father, no man comes to the Father except through me. His word, we're told in 1 John, His word is written that we may know that we may know, not that we may wonder, not that we may guess, not that we may hope, but that we may know. I heard somebody at a Christian lady at a church one time, and we were on a similar discussion of this, and I said something about know that you're saved. And she said, well, I hope I am. And I said, hope don't save you. Do you realize that? Hope does not save you. We are saved by what? Grace through what? Faith. You're saved by grace through faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Hope has nothing to do with it. Hope has nothing to do with it. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You believe Him, you trust Him. He has love for you, and you got faith in Him. That's all you need, amen? That's all you need. Nothing else is going to get you there. It's simple. Even a child could understand it. Intentionally. So a child could understand it. Jesus said, let the children come to me. We need to come as a child. As a matter of fact, he said that, didn't he? We need to come as a child. Simple, trusting. You know, when we were little kids, whatever mom and dad said was the truth, and we didn't doubt it at all. Didn't doubt it at all. We need to trust him that same way. His word is written that we may know, not wonder, not hope, but know. You can know that you have eternal life because your life is in Him. You don't hope. Hope is what you do when you took an algebra test and you hope you passed it. You can know. He wants you to know. He's not trying to hide. He wants you to know that He loves you and that He will save you and that you can have eternal life, that you can have abundant life starting today. Thirdly, apply it. We got to have the application part. The other half of the truth. We must apply what He said. We hear what He said, but we got to put it into practice. I know when I was taking EMT classes at the Votech Center in Troy many moons ago, you know, you would have all these classes and you take a written test, but that didn't get you your EMT license. You had to get down on the floor with a resusci Annie or whoever it was and do CPR. You had to start an IV on each other. You had to do all these kind of things. You had a practical exam because it didn't matter to the state of Alabama how much you knew right here. That's important. You got to know it here. But if you couldn't demonstrate it, then they were not going to license you as an EMT because you wouldn't be any good, were you? Would you? If you couldn't practice it, you had to apply it. So the other half of the truth is we got to apply what He said. We have to apply what He said. Peter, bless his heart, was in the boat. And when he said, Lord, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Boom. Out of the boat he came. Peter didn't have a prayer meeting. He didn't call, you know, and have a, what do they call that, a lifeline to call somebody and get there. He didn't do that. Peter jumped out of the boat. David picked up the stones, put them in his pouch, and stepped out to meet Goliath. Daniel stepped out to do what God said. Moses, now when God first called Moses, Moses was all eager to go, wasn't he? Not exactly. Moses tried to get God to get somebody else to do it. That sound familiar? You know, Moses tried to get somebody else, God to pick somebody else, but God said, no, I picked you. Do it. And Moses did. Finally, step out. Paul stepped out. John stepped out. Joshua stepped out. You getting the picture here? They all stepped out. Rahab, why did she get saved and nobody else did? Because she stepped out on the faith. Faith does not sit in a pew. Faith does not stand still. Faith steps out. Faith is doing. And you might say, well, I thought faith meant trust. It does mean trust, but it means a trust that moves me to action. Do you trust Jesus Christ with your life? It's a simple question. If the answer is yes, then you will live like that. If the answer is anything other than yes, then you will not live that way. That's the bare truth. We must do and teach others as well. That's the whole meaning of discipleship. Jesus said, go and make disciples. What does that mean? That means go and do like I did and teach them to do the same thing. Paul says, do you want to know what it looks like to follow Christ? Follow me. Now, Paul's not bragging. Paul's just saying, I'm following Christ. You want to know what it looks like? You follow me. We are the church. This building is not the church. The church has not been closed since the middle of March. Amen? The church has not been closed. The building has been shut down for a while. But the church has never and never will be closed. We are the church, the living body of Christ, and we are to always be that and always be doing His work and His will. There is never, ever a time when the church is turned off or shut down until Jesus comes back for His church. Amen? Never, ever, ever. No matter whether there's COVID-19 or COVID-20 or whatever else is going to come up next. And now, don't make any mistakes. Satan uses these kind of things. We're already seeing it happen where some states are trying to keep churches from opening again. We're only ever one generation away from the church ceasing to exist anytime, anywhere in history. How do these young ones learn about Christ? They got to be taught. They got to be taught. The days are difficult. Yes, they are. I agree. But Jesus told us it was going to be that way. Should not surprise us. The days are difficult. The days are perilous. But the rewards are so, so worth it. How many times have I been in different places around the world, you know, hiking or whatever else, and some of the worst, hardest, awfulest trails lead to the best views that you would never see and never appreciate till you scrambled up there to the top. Here's your compass point. Life and love. We want them both, don't we? For life to be successful, for us to be victorious, we got to have both, really, life and love. But they are only from and they are only through Jesus Christ. There's no substitute. Now, mankind has been under the prompting of Satan, has been trying all kinds of substitute recipes ever since creation. But in every case, without fail, they all fall flat. When you stand at the end of your life, whether that is a long time from now or a short time away, when you stand at the end of your life, it's not going to matter how many degrees you have, how much money you've earned, how much property you own, how many cars, none of that's going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's not going to ask you how much good stuff have you done versus how much bad stuff have you done. He's not going to weigh the two and say your good stuff equals more than your bad. Come on in. No, that's not going to matter. Because the wages of sin, one sin, is eternity apart from God in a place called hell. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because when we receive the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ, we are clothed with His righteousness, and we stand in judgment based on His righteousness, not mine and not yours. Thank God that's the case. Because none of us would get in if it was otherwise. Life and love. It comes down to a choice for both, really. Now, God gave you life at conception. But Jesus will give you eternal life at rebirth. Amen? So you have a choice. You can be born once and die twice. Or you can be born twice and die once. Because it's appointed to man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Every one of us has been born, or else we wouldn't be here, right? But if you're born a second time, reborn, new birth, born again, whatever term you want to use, the day you meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again because you are a new creature in Christ. And you will never, ever taste ultimate death then. Now, yes, we'll all face physical death, but that's merely a transition from here to eternity with Him. I have been at the deathbed of several Christians, and I've done funerals for quite a few Christians and some non-Christians. And there is, I started to say a world of difference. It's actually an eternity of difference in the two funerals. Because with a Christian, someone who you know knows the Lord, it is a time of celebration. Yeah, we're going to miss that person. There's going to be some grieving with the family and the friends, but you know where that person is, and they're not dead. You can celebrate that. Amen? You can celebrate that. That they have ultimate victory, as a matter of fact. You can celebrate that. But a life that you're pretty sure does not know Jesus Christ, what can you say? It's over. I mean, that's rough to say, and I really have said that, not in that term, but it's over. It's done. You don't get a redo. You don't get a do-over. You don't get a I intended to or I planned to. It doesn't count. Did you? Not did you plan to, but did you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Because if you do, then you have life and you have love and you know it. If you don't have Him, then you don't have either one of those, and you know that too. So my encouragement to you, my plea to you, whether you're here today physically or you're watching electronically later, is to make sure you don't leave this place or you don't turn off that recording until you make sure of your eternal salvation. That you have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your heart and your life and save you, to give you life and life more abundantly. That you want to experience life and love that only comes from Jesus Christ. Join me as we pray. Father, thank you again for the love and the life that you give to us. Lord, we know that without you there is no hope, there is no future, there is nothing. So Father, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, both here now and later on electronically, will understand the imperative, the urgency of the message, that today is the day of salvation. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. And that, Lord God, they will make the decision to receive the gift that you have given them in the person of Jesus Christ. That they will repent of their sins. That they will ask you to forgive them of their sins. And that, Lord Jesus, you will come into their heart and their life and save their soul. Give them life eternal, but also give them life abundant starting today. And that they will walk in your light, in your truth, and in your way as you shed light based on your word from your Spirit. Lord, help us as your church to be about doing your will, to not be afraid of a virus or of anything else, but to be following your plan and your footsteps to go where you're calling us, to go and doing what you're calling us to do. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
Your hand in that nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from his toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dear.
Amen. Thank you for your time, your attendance today. Don't forget the baby shower next door, drive up, drive through, or whatever we're calling it. So thank you for doing that. Anything we need to hear before we dismiss? Oh, yeah, thank you. Don't forget your tithes. Yes, back there in the back on the right as you go out in the little wicker basket. I guess it's a wicker basket, some kind of basket. Anyway.
I wish everybody at home could see the good crowd we got today.
Amen. It is good. I preached somebody to sleep right there, though. Probably so. All right. Anybody else? Okay, Mike.
And one more time, may all who come behind us. Let me hear you.
Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. May all who come behind us find us faithful.